What's up, beautiful people? Welcome to Wednesday of WrestleMania week. We're just a few days away, and we got a lot to cover in the world of news. There's a lot going on. We got NXT fallout. We got what's going on with Ronda Rousey in the news cycle, some news on R-Truth, and a lot more to cover here on WWT, Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet. Well, let's just hop right into it.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
It's a Wednesday, and it's a Wednesday that's a go home, getting forward to WrestleMania weekend and Stand and Deliver. There's a lot to talk about. And if you see my face, hear my voice, that means you're rocking with the EST today. But luckily, I am not alone. I'm joined by Honey. She's back after a brief hiatus to talk some good wrestling. And there's a lot to break down this week. I mean, it feels like I'm just throwing so many links in the group chat. There's article after article and appearance after appearance. And since this is the Super Bowl of wrestling, of course, all your favorite superstars are everywhere on the streets of Philadelphia, everywhere on your favorite networks and on your TV shows. Have you been keeping up with all this like hecticness this week?
It is a lot. I'm kind of delayed. I'm not going to lie. I'm just trying to catch up before the weekend hits. Because once the weekend hits, there's no going back. You got to make sure you keep up to date on everything. So, but it's just, I've been able to look at some of the links and see some of the goings on in the wrestling world. And it's getting real spicy out there, man. It's getting real spicy.
I mean, we're a week removed, I believe, from Roman Reigns being on the Pat McAfee show. I look up Cody's on ESPN this morning. I turn to my left. Becky is on The Breakfast Club of all places. And I look around and I see Montez Bianca actually on The Pivot with Ryan Clark and company. So, like, everybody's doing their rounds. I think it's cool to see a lot of the networks actually taking wind of how important this week is, but how big the sport of wrestling is.
Yes.
And welcoming these superstars in to their platforms to talk about the week, talk about their journeys as athletes and superstars. I think this is going to be a strange week because we're blending more hip hop into the WWE as well. Lil Wayne's supposed to be there. Meek Mill is going to be there. It's like, we're in a great space for pro wrestling.
It's a mix of the culture making its way into all sports entertainment platforms, which I love so much. It's really exciting. Mm-hmm. It was just an amazing kickoff to the week with everything going on in the shenanigans. I was able to tune in on the Monday show a little bit, but I couldn't stay long because I was a little busy at Barclays, which was fun. But it was just a lot to catch up on. A lot. Way too much. Mm-hmm. Way too much and not enough time.
Well, speaking of catching up, we might as well jump into the first part, or maybe the second, depending on how you feel about the Hall of Fame and Friday Night SmackDown. But speaking of the biggest WrestleMania ever, we're headed for the biggest Stand and Deliver ever on the heels of NXT last night. And we got Trick Mello Gang with their final showdown, their final stare off. And these brothers are about to make history as the first black men to headline a PLE. What do we think about that? What do you think about NXT? There was a lot going on last night. Sol Ruka with a big win over Blair Davenport. If you were peeped me out this morning, I was on Draping Gold with the great Flobo Boyce talking NXT, talking about Tony D'Angelo and Ilya Dragunov and how that feud is going. What's going on with Lyra Valkyrie and Roxy? Roxy getting AA through a table. There's so much in the world of NXT, so much to buzz about, and I think we're headed towards an amazing Stand Deliver PLE.
Stand and Deliver is about to be insane. And I almost kind of feel like there was almost a breaking point in the Trick Mello face-off because of the fact that that they were mentioned as going to be making history as the first black men to main event NXT Stand and Deliver. And for a moment, you kind of saw a little glimpse of the brotherhood that we know is still there, I'm sure, but you know, it's just a little bad blood right now because they're on opposite sides of the spectrum. And now they're going, this is basically their final face off in order to see who the real guy is on top in NXT. And it's hard to say which way it's going to go, but I think NXT was actually pretty good last night. Like, pretty good. I won't give it a great, but it was pretty good. The Tony D'Angelo and Ilya Dragunov thing, how they're building that is kind of interesting because I've never really seen it done like this before, with not so much fighting and a lot of mind games. It's different kind of mind games, you know, with Tony D being the Don and all of that, and just, you know, having his way, and at the snap of his fingers, he can make things happen. It just makes it makes you wonder how much pull this guy really has. And I'm kind of still worried a little bit. I'm still a little worried about Tony D'Angelo because I guess this will be the test of time this weekend to see if he can go toe to toe for real with the big boys like Ilya Dragunov. So, I mean, he's kind of been carrying his way through when it was, you know, the little colorful NXT brand, and then now it's slightly going into a different kind of era. There's only so much that you can have as the Don, you know, with showing your colors and showing your cards and trying to control the situation, even though Ilya is the champion. You know, it makes it really, really interesting. I'm also looking forward to see where this Joe Gacy thing goes. He's kind of losing.
Taking on Sean Spears.
Yeah, I'm really interested in that. And I thought Ariana Grace and Carmen's match last night was very, very good. I was like eyes open, and the chop, I think we all know the chop because her handprint was right on her chest by the end of that match. I was like, okay, here we go. This is what we're doing for this week, and this is what's going to lead to Stand and Deliver. But I'm really excited for this main event most of all than anything, because I think this is what everybody's been waiting for a long time.
Yeah, Rhea Sinclair destined to do big things. I'm glad to see Ariana Grace pick up a win. She is rising as my favorite character in all of NXT right now. She Happy that Mr. Hickenbottom got my hate mail and gave Lola Vice a win. Great win, by the way, putting Natalya over with a sharpshooter. As far as Tony D'Angelo, man, like, I feel like we're flashing back in time. I told Flobo this morning, like, the whole character, it feels like we're doing so much service to elevate this character, as opposed to like being just a match with the Mad Dragon and all that. And it just Tony D as a whole, just.
I'm not feeling it.
Yikes. Yeah, we're taking it there.
Can we get his taxes? Can we get his tax returns? Where the money coming from? How he got all these goons? Where are they hiding the funds? Because from doing rideshare, apparently, getting him to the warehouse, but to get a boot put on Ilya's car, there was so much stuff going on where it's like, we haven't had this version of this character this entire past year and some change, as opposed to when they debuted him like this and he floundered for a little bit and they said, oh, let's make him a Don. We're trying to heat that up. Honestly, this character peaked when they had the turf wars with the Legatos, but like now it feels like we're doing more of a service to elevate him as a brand then we are acknowledging that Ilya's the champion. So it's like, it makes me feel like he's coming out the champion, but I don't know if there's that much staying power at the top of the card like this, because eventually you're going to have somebody take out the Don. Who have they built to take out the, unless you go on Trick Williams, I get it, but there's just so much going on with that whole angle that just has me just like, ah.
I'm just like, where's this going? You know what I mean? And it does bring the good question, like, where the hell did he get this kind of pull from? And you know, it's not like he's the $1 million man or anything like that. He never flashed himself that way before, or, you know, like presented himself that way before as that. So I don't know. Maybe this is just something to elevate his character. Maybe this is something he had under his sleeve the whole time. I think personally, I'm about to go on a whim here and make a pick on the spot, but I think Ilya Dragunov is going to still walk away the champion for sure. I think this is more so about seeing if Tony D can hang with the big boys and how well he can carry a match, because it's like he has okay matches, but he hasn't had a banger, you know. If he did have a banger, it was when he was with Stax as the tag team.
The tag team. You know? You're probably talking about at No Mercy.
basically.
In which I was there at No Mercy and when they defended their tag belt. So, yeah, that was a good showing. But this whole Don thing, in order to, like, kind of put a cloud over the champion who's actually had some strong matches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, character work aside, he's had some strong matches. It's just weird.
Yeah, just a little strange. Just a little strange how they're building this, but I think it's probably going to open the door for something else by the time Stand and Deliver comes. Mm-hmm. Let me get your thoughts on
Lyra. Lyra and Roxy. Roxy continuing his bad girl act, but Lyra pulled out an AA last night. Let me tell you something.
That I wasn't believing and I wasn't buying what Roxy was selling maybe about a month ago. The promo that they had, the vignette and promo they had her do last week, mm-hmm. about her not, you know, you know what my heroes did for me? Nothing. Da, 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 da. And I was just like, I remember just literally was sitting on my couch and I watched that promo and I was just stuck on her and stuck on what she was saying. And I started literally like being convinced that this girl is exactly who she was saying she was and what she was becoming. So I'm now fully a believer in Roxanne as far as this little rebel. You know, it's kind of like they sprinkled a little Cora Jade-ness on her, just a little bit, you know?
What's up, MDBs? Happy to see you. Shout out to everybody in the chat, MDB, Cousin Ron, Special Little Nobodies, Eric, Boza, Matt. Happy to see you guys. Thank you guys for joining us on this Wednesday edition Go Home show. It's a lot to process. Stand and Deliver will be starting what, about? Probably
noon.
About noonish your time, about 9 a.m. our time.
Noon, and it's on Saturday.
I'm going to wake up bright and early to watch it because last year I actually had tickets to go and I didn't show up until about mid show just because I had some libations the night before. So I was a little hungover, but I'll make sure I watch the whole show because I want to see what's going to happen with Trick and Mello because this is going to be the defining moment. And me personally, I'm predicting that Mello wins to kind of continue holding that cloud over Trick as a, not a lifelong number two, but to kind of build the story arc. And I'm a firm believer as the hometown hero rarely ever wins in their hometown.
That's right. Cause Trick is from Philly.
It's like a home for him because he played for the Eagles.
That's why they made a whole big deal about it. Okay. With Meek Mills and everything like that. Okay. Well, that's true. Though that point is true that hometown heroes never really win like that. I don't know if I can make this pick yet, but it would make sense for Mello so that way he has that one up on him. But I think it'd be a little bit interesting if Trick comes out on top, so that way Mello goes into the main roster with a chip on his shoulder. And you know, eventually, I'm sure when Trick becomes the guy, he'll be called up really soon, and then we can relive and rehash that rivalry all over again. Because I'm sure this match that they're going to put on is just going to be the beginning of parts. This is going to be a part one kind of thing, and it can lead to a part two, maybe part three, and see who's the best. But I wouldn't mind who comes out of this on top because I love them both. I've completely been drawn to their story ever since they did the whole jumping Trick backstage. Cause I called it and I was like, I knew I've seen this before. Okay, Sean, I see you, Mr. Hickenbottom. We are going to go on the Triple H and Shawn Michaels betray your friend. Don't know who did it.
Not calling you Michaels around like here, that. Sean, to do the right thing. You Hickey out here. Hickenbottom. We'll give you your name back another time.
Yeah, depending on after this Stand and Deliver, maybe he might get it back.
Get Michael's back. I'm not giving him Michael's back to a Lola's chat, but he's hicking bottom until then.
Lyra pulling out the AA was really, really cool, and I was not expecting that. I was just like, all right, well, these girls are gonna play dirty. I would like to see I would have liked to have known that maybe there'd be a stipulation in this match. Because I feel like it could just take it up to that next level for both women as a whole and for the match itself. I even would have thought the same thing for Trick and Mello's match. You know, I need some more stipulations up in here. It doesn't feel like there's too much going on with that.
I think it'll end up being a Philly street fight, but Bose's comment is interesting. They had to make Trick versus Mello the main event. Seriously, are people expecting Tony D to win? I'm not. I feel like everything they're doing is to showcase the Don and how much power the Don has. We don't know what type of paper trail this man has. Maybe he bought, maybe he buys off the referee. I know Honey brought up the $1 million man. We don't know how deep these mob ties are.
And his pockets.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird that we had to get here in just a brief few weeks from him being this happy-go-lucky character that had the tag titles, and now I got goons everywhere.
Yeah.
I got like, warehouses, people up in here stitching stuff and cutting ice, and I'm still mad we didn't see what the dinner was. That's my biggest gripe.
You wanted to know
what it was supposed to be his last meal. I wanted the big reveal to what was underneath the tray right there. I'm pretty upset about that.
Yeah, probably it should have been a good steak dinner. Some potatoes, some meat and potatoes on there.
Flobo was saying there might have been a hand under there. And I know we're just barely exiting the PG era a little bit, so you can't really do that, but
yeah. But well, all I know is that Stand and Deliver better bring the meat and potatoes this weekend. It's gonna be phenomenal. I mean, and the history that's being made alone says a lot.
Yeah, and some people are already actually saying this could be the biggest. So this is a question I pose to you: is Trick Mello, as it stands right now, in position to be one of the biggest or the biggest main event in NXT history?
One of without a title, possibly, I would say. But I wouldn't say it is. I mean, I guess you would have to get back to me after the match. You know,
it's tough competition too.
It really is, and we would have to relive that. Revisit that question next week or something like that. But because there's been a lot of great NXT main events, lots of them. And
some guesses for the final meal here: biscuits and gravy, cold cuts, and Baba Ganoush.
Baba Ganoush, I cannot.
I believe this as well.
Yeah, like when you have,
there's so many.
And there, exactly my point right there. Also, Joe and Finn Balor, you know what I mean? Or anything demon related, anything demon related. Honestly,
I remember being in the building for Shinsuke and Bobby Roode. Mm-hmm. There's so many. Ciampa Gargano.
I was in Brooklyn for NXT Stand and Deliver when they did NXT Takeover when they had it. Drew and Aleister Black. Like, you know, for the title, but Drew got hurt and something or another happened, even though that match didn't quite go as planned. But there were so many other great main event matches. But this, it depends on what they do. And we would have to see after the match to, it definitely can be probably one of the most highly anticipated main events in NXT for a while, mm-hmm. like probably since Sasha Bailey, you know, because that blew the roof off. I would hope that they do the same. And I think it's just a little bit more difficult because there's nothing involved. No title, no nothing. This is strictly blood feud and brother turned
beef.
On brother. And it's just straight up beef. Exactly. Straight up.
That's why I think it needs to be a fight. If it's just a technical match, I think that would be a bad way to showcase Trick in this.
I don't think they both have it in them as I both feel like that's not their style. That's mm-hmm. not their style, and it's not going to mesh well. Like if you wanted to do that, you do that with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly the way they did that 2 out of 3 falls match that they had, and it was like they changed the rules in every round or whatever. If you're on that kind of level with that wrestling and being in the ring and doing the in ring work, then you leave it to those guys. Trick and Mello is all flash and all flair. It's got to be very almost like Shawn Michaels, like somebody needs to come out as Mr. Stand and Deliver, you know, and I'm wondering who that's going to be, but it could go either way, man.
That's a good point. Claim to be Mr. Stand and Deliver. So that might be another feather in the cap for Mello if he was on his way out.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of news in the wrestling space, last year we got a good look at the international show. So WWE announced that Clash at the Castle will actually be in Glasgow, Scotland this year on June 15th. Last year, I believe, it was in Cardiff, Wales. And we're continuing this theme of the summer being international, which I think is a very good blueprint, very good formula from Backlash being in Puerto Rico last year. The fans absolutely turn up out there. And this looks good from the optics in the States, just watching on TV, seeing how rowdy they are. Very interesting choices here on the poster. That's the first thing I noticed. Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Drew McIntyre. What do we think about the WWE going out to Scotland this year? Who do you project to be on the card? And what do you think about the superstar choices on this poster, the very first poster?
I think this is a very big deal, and I think they would be wrong if they don't include Drew McIntyre. It is in Glasgow, and he has a move called the Glasgow Kiss. So he might, you know, it just makes sense. And this is quite a picture. It's a really good picture. What it tells me is that it's kind of hinting at what could possibly be happening this weekend. There's a few things that could be going down. And there's certain things that I'm seeing in this picture. There's certain things that I'm not seeing in this picture. Because one thing that's not in this picture is a title. No one's holding any titles up in here. There's been no real leaks about that. You know, usually fans in IWC are very crazy about that when they put up, you know, the pictures up ahead of time of the future events. And they're like, oh, wait, they just gave it away. Somebody got a title on there. And then I don't see any titles. I'm just saying, I just have to state the obvious. I am seeing a very big sword and a very big Drew McIntyre and a strong Drew McIntyre at that, which could tell me possibly, even when there's no titles in this picture, it could tell me that somebody, a few of these people, maybe how many are there? Five, at least 2 to 3 people in this picture are going to be coming out on top this weekend. Because they will be highlighted for come June.
Okay. I mean, I think, I know we're not supposed to read into these things too much, but
I try not to.
I don't think this says much for Cody. I think you have to feature Drew as probably your biggest star from that region. I think it's very telling that Jade is on the poster and what that means for her trajectory post WrestleMania. Maybe in tandem with Bianca, maybe taking on Bianca. There's a couple things I can read into that, but the fact that we're starting to position Jade in this era, where we're going to start showcasing her in our ads, that lets me know that there's big plans for her post-Mania season.
They're going to make this girl go global, and it's going to be wonderful. She's going to blossom. And with another thing that I meant to mention was I definitely see possibly Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk once he's better. That could possibly be a big deal. You know, you have this is probably like Drew's best work that he's done in a, like ever probably. Cause you know, him going full blown heel and the insults every week and antagonizing Cody, antagonizing Seth, antagonizing CM Punk and just throwing his name in the dirt every chance he gets. I could definitely see that match would be happening then. I will now, say that.
Boza brings up an interesting point. He says, I just don't want them to do all this promotion for Drew and bam, he doesn't resign. I remember they were still acting like John Moxley would resign with WWE and he didn't. They had John at one point before he left feuding with Nia Jax. The match never happened. I feel like I understand that sentiment, but I feel like with Drew being as hot as he is right now, and I'm not just talking about in-ring, but on socials, that's key for this. Like how much social media engagement Drew is driving, how much merch he's selling. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they would let him go. I think in this situation, they would give Drew whatever he wanted to remain. But also, I can probably make argument with the merch sales, everything else, everything that Drew was driving, I think he's probably making a lot more money if there's any extra incentives to his merch sales right now.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be extra incentive to stay. Now, especially being able to perform like in front of his homeland, stuff like that.
Of course. I think the most interesting choice on this poster is Jey Uso. Because what's next after you face your brother? I'm interested to see what's there. And what does this lead to for Jey Uso, especially after what happened on Monday? If anybody saw the lovely setting at Barclays.
Are we referring? Well, what did happen to Jey? You talking about when he?
When Jey Uso
when he got hit by the final boss?
Yeah, that was something I was not expecting to see. That's something I was not expecting to see. But for some reason, I liked it. I really liked it. It gave big bully cousin, and I'm gonna beat you if you keep messing with me and getting your nose in my business, because I'm gonna just toss you. You're my little cousin, and I'm the boss. You know, like I really like that. And Jey so far has been able to remain untouched from this whole bloodline thing. except for Jimmy and Solo antagonizing him. But the fact that The Rock laid hands on him, I think that's something that should not be overlooked.
Okay, I like that. I'll pose this question to you and to everybody in the chat, everybody listening. Is it possible that The Rock beats Jay back into the bloodline?
The same way that Roman beat them so bad to acknowledge him that he made him quit, that would be pretty damn intense. I don't know, man. Whatever you want to call him, Hollywood Rock, Corporate Rock, Bully Rock, Final Boss Rock, this Rock is everything. And there's no telling. There's so many layers and roots to this story that we can go down plenty of rabbit holes to what feuds would lead to what. I could definitely see that being a possibility if they go that route. You could beat him so bad, he beats him back into the bloodline. But Jay is so highly influential now, and they've done so much to build him up into being a main event player that I don't think they would just let it go to waste like that, because he still hasn't really touched the surface of being in the main event player, except for when he faced Gunther. And well, also when he faced his cousin in the beginning as well. But I'm saying, like, Jey Uso when he faced Roman and Jey Uso now is a completely different Jey Uso. And the people are behind him now. You know, he's like one of the Codys. And I think it would be very detrimental to his persona and to the fact that they've done so much to build him up as a main event. I mean, his name is Main Event Jey Uso. So I would think if you want to elevate him for a main event, put him against his big bully cousin. That would be sickening.
I think that would say a lot, and I'm echoing what Roman said in his biography. I've been watching it. It's a great watch on AE. Roman was saying he feels like it's his job, like if he was to leave this space to elevate everybody around him. You can absolutely say he elevated both of his cousins or all three of them, including Solo.
Yes.
Especially Jay more than anybody. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's very conceivable that a program with The Rock could exist for Jay, or just that Jay does go on to kind of be a star player on the Raw brand still later this year.
And with all that being said, does Jay end up, because remember, with the weekend and the stipulations being that they are, if the Bloodline, aka The Rock and Roman, defeat Cody and Seth, it's Bloodline rules the next night.
It's absolutely happening. Which I don't think you introduce that if it doesn't happen.
Like, it can't have, you have to have it happen because you want the chaos. It's WrestleMania 40. This is supposed to be bigger. This is supposed to be better. This is supposed to be a spectacle. And this is the Bloodline story. This is going to be yet another page turn in the book of the Bloodline.
Can you imagine the tomatoes that will be thrown if we don't get Bloodline rules after all this talk about Bloodline rules?
I'll be more pissed about that than Roman losing, honestly, if that is going to happen. But I don't think that's going to happen anyway. But did I say that?
I don't think I can be any more upset than Tony D'Angelo winning the NXT title.
That's right.
Just me.
Good point. Touche. But, it's Bloodline rules. And Jay, whether he's by himself or not, no matter what he's doing, he got Samoan bloodline in his veins. And he is going to be a part of that chaos. So is he going to have something to do with maybe getting at The Rock and Roman, especially after what they did to him on Monday?
Let's talk about it, Cousin Ron. He asked, do we introduce a new member of the Bloodline at Mania? I don't know if you guys have been scouring the internet. I didn't put this in the spreadsheet, but I put it in our group chat. Lance Anna Y tweeted out, maybe I can be next, and he spelled the NXT in caps with a lowercase e. Did anybody see that? Lance Anna Y's tweet.
I actually didn't until you sent it, but I didn't actually look at what it said. I just saw that you posted and it was about him. I'm like, oh boy, I'm sure this means that they're going to be getting him really soon. But I didn't see that he posted NXT.
I think it was a few months ago that Tama was rumored to be on the way. So it's very possible that we do get some form of Bloodline additions. There's so many layers to the story that we're nowhere near done with it, which makes me feel like we're in for a very exciting 2024 if Dwayne has no commitments that are keep him away from pro wrestling for the foreseeable.
I also had an idea, guys, and you guys in the chat could let me know what you think as well. But who's to say that the newest member of the Bloodline won't be a woman? Mm-hmm. Who's to say that they don't bring in Nia Jax? Who's to say that they won't bring in, I mean, well, Naomi, possibly they could have done that. But I just thought, I just don't know if it was just me, but if anybody who was watching with me on a SmackDown watch along a couple weeks back, they had showed, oh, it was when Bianca got, when Naomi got misted in the face. And Bianca was helping her out, like cleaning her face off and everything. And Tiffany was messing with her. Before that, when Bianca got upset about Bayley and Naomi was like, come, let me talk to you. They're coming down the hallway. And it's just casually, but they walk past a Cody Rhodes signing autographs and stuff. I just think that's something that's something to pay attention to. Because who's to say that Naomi, she is, we all know she is married to Jimmy Uso. And we all know that she has ties to the family bloodline. Who's to say that that won't happen? And why would they randomly just show her and Bianca walking past Cody Rhodes if they didn't want you to see that? I just think that's something to pay attention to.
That's something they've done a lot more in the past few weeks, is those backstage vignettes where you see things happen in the background. And I want to say they take that influence from Bray Wyatt, from when he used to do the Funhouse segments and have the puppets back in different parts of the arena. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool that we see that. I think just a week ago before The Rock attacked Cody, you saw Drew in the background talking to Paul Heyman. And you really had to zoom in to really see that. So those little things that we're seeing are part of like the, when you want to make wrestling unpredictable, like it is amazing when you can do those type of things. Speaking of unpredictable, and this is just a transition, don't blame me for this. In the news cycle, we got Ronda Rousey and Drew Gulak, two names that I don't think I would ever be associated with one another. And Ronda's been in the news a lot. I don't think any of it necessarily good, but Ronda has come out and accused Drew Gulak of quote unquote sexual assault, saying that there was an incident backstage where Drew grabbed and pulled her drawstring. Now, Drew has actually already come out to respond to this. And what Ronda actually said, let me give you the full quote from Ronda, because she said that the guys in the back kind of treated it like it was just an ordinary day. She said, in fact, nobody around me acted as if it was abnormal. All the guys around me were like, this is just a part of the day. After allegedly Drew grabbed this drawstring of her sweatpants. Drew responded and said, backstage at a WWE event in 2022, I saw Ronda talking with a group in the hallway. I stopped to say hi and shake all their hands. And in an attempt to shake her hand, I accidentally touched her drawstring. Complete accident, and one that I had apologized to her for the mishap. So what do we think? What do we make of all of this?
Oh, somebody lying for the most part, but it's not, you know, this could go either way. I mean, Ronda has been openly speaking up about a lot of things that have happened in WWE with her and how she looked at the business and how she felt about certain things with the whole, I forgot the term she used. What was it? Couch, something with the couch, like a couch audition scenarios. And it's just, you know, I'm not sure what to make of it, only because it's, you know, it's one person's word versus the other person's word. And, you know, we could sit here and dabble back and forth about who's right or who's wrong or who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth. I'm by in no means in any position to tell anybody what their truth is and isn't. So I obviously both of them have two different kinds of stories as to how this whole thing happened. Can something occasionally get caught in a drawstring? Possibly, sure. But is it also possible that it was done in a different way and it was overlooked, being that it was still under he who shall be not be named, VKM, you know, under his system and under his umbrella and under his watch? And she was apparently, I believe she also said she was standing near Bruce Pritchard. All all things that tie into that, I guess it just goes with her. It's just basically her expressing herself and expressing her frustration. And I guess that's just her version of how things went. I think it's just oddly strange just to walk up to somebody and then just pull on their drawstring. I just don't know how that works. Like, if that's your cup of tea, that's just kind of weird. But Drew Gulak, I don't know. I really don't know.
It's hard to really put my finger on it too, because I absolutely don't know.
It's touchy.
What to think? Is it something that was overblown? I mean, he came out pretty fast and said he apologized for it, that it was a complete misunderstanding. And I mean, if it was a bigger deal, I feel like there's a way we would have heard about it before. I mean, and also if it was a bigger deal, Ronda's husband, Travis Brown, former UFC heavyweight, I think we could have got some backstage news in regards to something like that if it was something deeper than what we're seeing. But not a good look that this type of stuff is coming out for the company in lieu of everything that's going on with VKM. I know Nick Khan made a statement, I believe, earlier today that it didn't look good for the Netflix deal when all that stuff came out, that the deal wouldn't necessarily have been dead, but that there would have been significant hurdles with the Netflix deal in regards to that. But it's just very eerie hearing this news when it dropped, just because it's like Drew Gulak. Like, I don't think of anything in regards to Drew Gulak and in regards to anything like that.
I think it just sucks because you can't put it past anybody. I think that's the part that sucks the most. You just can never tell about people behind closed doors.
That's very true.
And it's not the first time that there's been any issues with that whole Me Too thing that goes on with backstage and backstage politics with women and men and everything like that, and all the kinds of inappropriate behaviors that we hear about and have heard about. Hence why VKM is no longer around, and also as well as the big guy. I think also it's possibly why she's not around as well. Something could have happened to the point where it pissed her off royally, and there was nothing she could do about it until she was out of her contract. It literally could be any kind of situation. I guess it's only coming out now because it's her book and she just released the book and everything. And this is all from her perspective. And technically it's not like the book was just written yesterday. This was like months ago and years at a time where she was, you know, chronologically, taking note of her experience with WWE. So, I mean, I hope it's not true. I just hope it's not true. You just never want things like this to be true. But a lot of people, I'm sure, will say that Ronda's just being bitter. That she's just upset because of how her career flopped in WWE and when it should have been something bigger. But it's just, yeah. It's just, I don't know. There's been, to call pulling on someone's drawstring sexual assault is a little bit much, because sexual assault is exactly what it is. But if she took it that way, that's just her.
Yeah.
That's her.
Okay, I can't tell somebody how to feel.
We definitely know that this wouldn't have happened in the streets, especially if she's walking with her husband, because you've seen her husband. Her husband will lay anybody out, including Drew Gulak, probably. But, I don't know. It's just really touchy, and I just hope it's not true for both sides.
Moses says she made the mistake of going on News Nation. That channel loves the Vince scandal. News has been slow, so when they got Ronda to say what she said, oh boy, did it hit the fan. And yes, it did. So I'm pretty sure we'll be cherry picking this story for days on end until maybe we get a public statement from either Triple H or Nick Khan. Never know. We'll see.
It also makes me wonder what are they going to do about Drew Gulak, being that he's part of the
quarter club,
quarter catch crew on NXT. And he's kind of like, you know, looking like the legend, bringing up the young new stars, the new breakout stars and everything like that. And so what does that mean for them in the future? Are they going to put him on TV anymore for a while? Or are they going to give him a little bit, take him off TV just to let everything cool down and quiet down? But I guess it just depends on the severity of it. And nobody's been convicted or arrested or anything like that, or nothing's going to court. So this is, This is just her account of how things went. And she's just very snarky with it, I guess. It just comes off very snarky.
Well, I'm pretty sure more details about it will come out. And I know that's not the best story, but I'm hoping that we get more info and more clarity and it gets cleared up. But on a more positive note.
Yes, please.
Buy some merch.
Hey, yo, you. Yeah, you that's watching this. You sitting on the couch staring at the screen not knowing what you want to do, like this is an online college. Are you tired of wearing shirts that make you look like an extra stuck in catering? Do you want to step your wrestling swag game up to the next level? Then Women's Wrestling Talk has got you covered. Like, literally. Are you for life in pink or black and white? Or maybe you're the EST and people need to respect you accordingly. Want to put some pride in your stride and show off the muscle in your hustle? Then make sure you check out the WWT store. Not now, but right now. All right? What you waiting for? Head to www.talkpodstore.com and don't make me fight you. Shit.
Which reminds me, pop, get that merch. Shout it out on the socials if you're going to be in Philly this week. Tag Women's Wrestling Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and we'll repost you in the merch. There's a lot of good stuff on there. Also, a reminder, I dropped this on Draped in Gold this morning. I am trying to get off my Wale Mania ticket. So you are interested in experiencing Wale Mania. I think every wrestling fan should. It's kind of a intersection of hip-hop and pro wrestling. A lot of your favorite stars are going to be there tomorrow night. You have my contact information, at least my socials, not my address, nothing like that. But I'm giving this away for free. So if you want that Wale Mania ticket, let me know. There are some people asking. I want to give it to a fan, though. So, like, yeah, let's get on that. Speaking of WrestleMania week, we talked about this lightly. All the media week is going on, kind of like the NFL media week, NBA media week. All the stars are making their rounds. I said Bianca Belair and Montez Ford. For whatever reason, I want to reverse their last name today. They were on the pivot with Ryan Clark and company talking about their relationship, their career. We saw Cody Rhodes on ESPN First Take making the rounds there, talking about the history of WrestleMania. He actually got a Rolex watch for him, as well as Seth Rollins, to commemorate 40 years of WrestleMania. And then we had Becky Lynch in the Breakfast Club, which is probably just a weird mosh posh of that, of things going on there. I didn't realize that went on until maybe a few minutes before we started the show. But did you happen to catch any of these things?
I did not catch Becky. I didn't even know she was on Breakfast Club till you told me. And I saw maybe like one clip from Bianca and Montez's interview, but I was full on up and awake for Cody for First Take, because that's like my ritual thing in my household. We love First Take and Stephen A. Smith and all of them. And to see I was just saying to myself when I was watching it, I was just like, this man Cody knows how to rock a damn good suit and a damn good watch. Like, he has his put together, like his just look is just everything. So he also did talk
does about Cody have regular this. Clothes.
I don't think so. I think he just has, you ever seen Fifth Element, you know, the movie Fifth Element. Remember when they go to Lost in Paradise and he asks, what can I get to wear? And she clicks a button and all the suits come out. I feel like that's like the line of all of Cody's suits in his closet. Like, that's how his suit game will go hard like that. But that's just me. I was just, you know, trying to see what I can get as far as like any clues or hints about what could possibly be going on this weekend. I mean, we obviously know that Cody is going to be main eventing both nights. He also did go on to say something very interesting, which kind of had me like, oh, okay. He says that, because Stephen A. asked him a good question. He said, how do you get through this when you know you have to main event both nights? He goes, he basically said that between, out of the four, Rock, who's been out of the game for a little bit, 12 years, he hasn't really been in ring shape capacity. Roman Reigns, he said, not to be a negative. He said, this is going to come off wrong, but it's not to be put in a negative light. Part-time champion, so he's literally there part-time, and Seth is just coming off of recuperating from his leg and his back. So technically, if he said, if there's anyone who is in the best shape to main event both nights, it's him. And I couldn't agree more with it a little bit, because it makes me, and now it also makes your perspective shift as to what's going to really happen this weekend, or what could possibly happen this weekend. He also talked about, they also asked him about Dusty Rhodes and how big WrestleMania 40 is. And they also talked about, the match with the stipulations and everything like that, which Stephen A always goes on a little tangent every now and then. And he always gets so excited because, you know, he basically talks about the fact that he would love to be like a heel manager or heel commentator type thing, which I could totally see for Stephen A. Smith, because he's kind of already does that. You know, he's his own gimmick. But it was really cool to see, you know, Cody make his way into First Take. And it's funny because just like, what, a month ago or a couple months ago, we saw The Rock on First Take. And a couple months before that, we saw Roman on First Take and Paul Heyman on First Take. It was just, you know, so it's like the buildup for this is really, really strong. And it just gets you more and more excited for the weekend. I wish I would have seen more of Montez and Bianca Belair's interview. I'm going to watch that later.
Yeah, and I told you about this before the show. Bianca had a very interesting excerpt in there because they asked her about like what representation means to her in the sport. Actually, I piggybacking off what happened Friday night with The Point, which with her, Jade Cargill, Naomi, and she actually highlighted some of the parts of in that interview where she kind of felt like she was alone for a minute and carried all that weight on her own when Sasha and Naomi left. So she said she's happy that you have people that will see three Black women on the show right now to draw the inspiration from. Because she said growing up, she always wanted to be an actress or a singer, but the only actress she would see was Halle Berry on TV. So she didn't think that pathway was for her because you had to kind of be the lucky one that got in. So she's happy that you have three strong figures of representation in the sport now. And she chronicled how she felt so alone, and not that she couldn't carry that weight, but how some people prefer to be the only one. She didn't want to be the only one.
Mm-hmm. I totally feel her on that, because I'm sure the pressure, I'm sure it was because she wasn't really ready for it, because it happened so sudden. Naomi and Sasha just left, you know? So then she looks around the locker room. She's like, oh my God. There's nobody really else here that looks like me. And that could be very pressuring, and that could get into your mental state a little bit, you know, but I knew she could always carry it. She made it look easy. You know, I'm sure it was very hard for her behind the camera. Once that camera's on, she carried it with so much grace that she continued to push through, and she still did what she needed to do. But the payoff of it led to her extraordinary WrestleMania Hollywood entrance with the little girls dressed just like her and doing the dance routine and things like that, you know, just to keep showing that, yeah, if you look like me, you can do this too. And for any little girl that's watching, you can do this just like me one day if you put your mind to it. And so she carried that very well with grace, as I knew she would, because whereas somebody like John Cena, you know, where he was technically the only one of his kind, she's kind of on that route too, but maybe she just didn't want it that way because she wants to be able to share that that history making moment, and to, you know, to be able to, she did main event with Sasha when she was Sasha, and it could just be very tough on as a woman and as a Black woman, as a minority, any woman of color, period, to be able to lift the bar, you know, and carry the torch for the ones that look like you. So, but I give her all the credit in the world, and shout outs to her for keeping it together to be able to get to this result, which we have now, because now we have Jade Cargill, now we have Naomi back, now, you know, it's just, and the pointing of the sign, like, it's still, that's going to be an image that's going to be talked about forever, and she's a part of that. And I will say, just a side note, her abs looked fantastic in that picture. Bianca's abs looked absolutely great. She made me need to get in the gym for sure. So shout outs to you, Bianca, and kudos to you. You definitely deserve your flowers, because you did carry what you needed to carry, and whether you wanted to or not, you still handled it gracefully, and we love you for it. She's always going to have supporters in us too. So.
Mm-hmm. And then going back to Cody, there's a lot of buzzwords. He was also on MMA Hour. And he talked not thinking about returning to AEW before signing WWE, not agreeing with CM Punk's assessment of Tony Khan and how he loves CM Punk as well as the Bucks and Kenny. He doesn't know how, but he does. He got about his advice from John Cena as far as being the champion without the belt. And I feel like he's been doing that. And one more notable thing that he said, if he doesn't win the title this week against Roman Reigns, he might as well move over to commentary. So he's saying a lot of the right things, and Cody always does. And who knows how this weekend ends, but for one thing, we're going to get an all-timer. And I don't care if it's like overbooked and sloppy and messy. It doesn't make sense. We're going to get all the stops pulled out this WrestleMania weekend. It's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah, for Cody to say that made me think a lot about what could possibly happen this weekend. It definitely made definitely didn't change my pick. It's definitely not going to change my pick. But I'm not going to say what that is just yet. Cody, no, always, even I noticed, especially in AEW, that man always knew what to say and how to say it. And when to say it. He always knew a way to keep, he always keeps you drawn in and keeps you engaged and keeps you believing in him. And he was, you know, he was also saying that, you know, if I believe it, if my fans don't believe it, I can't do it. And they are told, and we all know that the Cody crybabies are all behind it, 1,000%. I'm showing my true colors here as the weekend comes, but regardless of whatever happens, regardless of whose side you're on, regardless of who you're rooting for, regardless of who your pick is, the result is going to be the same. And it's going to be the fact that this WrestleMania will definitely outdo its last. And it would be an immense spectacle. There's going to be lots of shenanigans, especially because of the stipulation alone. So we know that Bloodline Rules is going to happen that Sunday night. It's just what is gonna happen. Like, how is it gonna go down? Who's gonna come out on top, and who's gonna suffer, and what's gonna crumble from that? Is the Bloodline gonna crumble from that? Is the relationship with Cody and Seth and Jey Uso gonna crumble from that? There's also the fact that Seth Rollins is, like we've said, Seth Rollins hasn't really been talked about much throughout this whole time. Seth kind of was diminished. You know, now that Roman has resurfaced and everything, but Seth, you know, Seth is just there to hang in there for the ride, and I love it. But he also has his own story to fulfill as well, because he is also going to be fighting. What is it? Two matches in one night? Is he doing Drew the same night? No,
back to back nights.
Okay, that's what I thought. I would hope that they wouldn't do that to him, but. There's a lot to unpack, y'all, and it's just going to be absolute madness. So who knows who's going to come out on top.
I'm the tribal chief around here. Yeah, you see me, the tribal chief. That's right.
We see more of that. Looking
and for. Wait, so are we officially both in agreement with what I think we're agreeing?
I never had doubt. I never had doubt that we wouldn't see more of the same, but I think we're going to get such an overbooked, beautiful mess of a match on Sunday that it's going to be very memorable.
Because you have to think about the last couple of WrestleManias that happened. Like, you got to think about when Sammy betrayed Roman. You got to think about those kind of moments like that, or you got to think about when Jimmy and Jake, you know, when they turned on each other and they said, you out, I'm out. Like, you got to think about shock factor. You got to think about what is going to make people blow up out of their seats. What is going to blow the roof off the place? And there's nothing I know. There's nothing else that I could see blowing the roof off the place than our tribal chief retaining his title and pissing off a lot of people. So
Sindel, DM how that picture. Happens,
however that happens, or if Cody does finish the story, regardless of what, it's going to be insane.
very insane. Let's move on. We got WWE Speed, which debuted today. We saw two matches. We saw Ricochet and Dragon Lee, which Ricochet beat the clock and did defeat Dragon Lee. And we saw Cedric Alexander and Bronson Reed, which Bronson Reed won. What do we think of WWE Speed on the X platform? Matches that are 3 minutes long, and there's a tournament taking place to determine the first WWE Speed champion.
I think it's smart. I think it's very interesting. I think it's also smart because of when it's taking place and where people are always on X, always on Twitter. We still call it Twitter over here. People are always on Twitter. People are always looking at the socials. People are always trying to keep up to date with the next big thing that's coming through to in sports entertainment. And this is really cool how they, I think that they're doing it this way. I don't know who else is going to be in this. I don't know who else is in this tournament, but I didn't get to catch the matches either. But just knowing off the bat, especially with the momentum that Ricochet's been having now, I could totally see him being the one to win it all the way and be the winner of the tournament. He is definitely deserving of some flowers lately. I think that's something that that would be really cool for the business, because it just gets more eyes drawn to them as well. And it also can get your eyes on people that you may not see as often.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think that's the beautiful thing about wrestling. There's a lot of tribalism online where people say, oh, this isn't wrestling and you don't like pro wrestling. This is where you get pro wrestling in its truest form for WWE. When you have matches like this with WWE Speed, if you watch Main Event, that's where you get your true matches. Where on SmackDown and Raw, you may get more storyline, and that's okay. But both companies absolutely do pro wrestling in the purest form. Next up, we got some cool news. Sami Zayn tweeted this out. He said he had some very exciting news. He's actually going to be performing stand-up comedy out here in Los Angeles at Avalon Hollywood. Sami Zayn and Friends show with Netflix as a joke. May 11th. What do we think about Sami doing comedy? I feel like that's actually probably a natural thing for him.
I could totally see that, especially after the last couple of years he's had. Sami has done everything under the sun, including have people bursting with laughter. He's even broken our own tribal chief in laughter a couple of times during some promos, and you know, as he was the honorary Oos, which was probably one of my favorite times for Sami Zayn. Even when he did the segment where he was in a wheelchair and he was talking to the big guy and he was speaking French to him, like, you know, there's just certain little things, and Sami looks like that guy who's always trying to put a smile on your face. You know, so I would totally tune in. I think, you know, whether you want to call him as Sami Zayn or Sami Uso, you know, he's the honorary Uso no matter what, regardless of whatever happened. And if you love him, watch it, tune in. And, you know, and I love me some stand-up comedy, so I would love to see this. And I could see this for Sami.
Yeah, since it's in my neck of the woods, I think I might actually show up today. I think it'll be fun to see Sami in that element. I think it probably comes natural to him. Making people, not just entertaining people, but making people laugh. Mm-hmm. Cool news from the Final Boss. If you saw this tweet floating around, The Rock actually gifted this fan, Ruben Rodriguez, all expenses paid to WrestleMania. Not just WrestleMania. He said he's paying for his flight. He's paying for his stay. He's paying for his food. Because this man, if you saw The Rock's social media in the past week, he did a pop-up at Target, bought food and groceries for a number of people there who were in attendance, but he bought everything for this man because this man tattooed The Rock's signature as well as his Brahma Bull staple on his arm. What do we think about this?
I love it. I mean, it just, you know, it just shows how charitable and how generous our final boss is, and he's always been that way. We've seen him do a lot of stuff like this, even when wrestling wasn't involved in his life. He would pop up on fans at movie screenings or pop up at stores or anything like that, or he'd gift close friends of his or people he's worked with, like cars or homes, or, you know, just completely pour his generosity into people. And I love that about The Rock, just because he sees a tattoo. And I guess that it makes kind of sense for him to do something like that, only because tattoos are very like sacred tradition in Samoan families. As you see that The Rock has his huge tribal tattoo, and that thing seems like it just continues to get darker and darker, or maybe it's just his Papa Tui tattoo lotion that he just dropped or something like that, but the thing's glossing. And even Jey Uso, Roman, Jimmy, all of them, Solo, that, you know, even the Wild Samoans back then, a lot of them have it on their legs and you don't see it because of their gear. But they look at tattoos as very sacred. And so probably being just so moved and honored that somebody inked his name on their skin, because that's it stays on you forever, you know. It's something that he probably felt moved to do, and he saw the children, and he, you know, he's a girl dad, so he's a sucker for all of that and the above. And just goes to show that our generous final boss will always be generous and the final boss.
Yeah, one of the real cool stories coming out of the past few days, you know, and shout out to Ruben and his daughter. They're going to be seeing WrestleMania in style. Mm-hmm. Transportation, food, flight,
Dwayne hotel, Johnson
way. That's crazy.
If that's not a big spoonful of big Dwayne energy, then I don't know what the hell is. Because I mean, I tell you, I was there. All right, confession. I was there this past Monday on Barclays. Last minute, totally not planned. But I went to Barclays, and that was my first official time seeing The Rock, like ever. And I can't even explain the energy that man has, the aura and the way he just changed the room. You know, he sucked the air out of the room, because after that, Raw was kind of dry for everybody. Everybody was waiting for him. But he's just so impactful, and he's just such a larger than life figure. And, you know, I even, as I'm filming content and stuff, I had to look over my phone just to make sure that I was really looking at this guy, because it was just really awesome to witness such greatness, and especially in this form, in rare form, as the final boss and as this completely new Dwayne The Rock mixture character that he's completely come up with as a result of what happened in Vegas. It's impeccable, and it's just like the most immense and intense energy I've ever felt in my life when his music hit. I've probably, like, between Bray Wyatt returning at Extreme Rules and Dwayne coming in at Barclays, I can't even explain it. It's just, for lack of a better word, greatness.
Wait till Saturday and Sunday when Dwayne come out. And I've been very critical of Dwayne in the ring, and I'm going on the ride, and you know what? Dwayne might show me up and just be like,
I got a lot left in the tank.
He might prove me wrong, you know. If I see Dwayne at what, 52, and he do a kip up or something like that, you know, I'm going to the gym at that very moment.
A 52-year-old Dwayne kip up will get
I'll pop for that.
For real. I totally feel that. It's gonna be insane.
So speaking of things happening in Philly, I guess this happened to Chelsea Green last night, which is very strange. She actually said, man, one night you're wrestling at Barclays Center having the time of your life, and the next you're being kicked out of Fairmont Hotels and being accused of being an escort because of your outfit. Life is funny. Maybe next year I won't celebrate WrestleMania weekend at the Plaza Hotel. Very wild that a WWE superstar will be staying at a hotel where I'm pretty sure most of the city knows that the WWE is there, and be accused and kicked out because of what they're wearing. What do we think of this story?
The Plaza Hotel. She was at the Plaza?
Fairmont Hotel.
The Fairmont Hotel. I don't know. Well, whatever. Whoever was working there, y'all should be ashamed of yourselves. Like, you don't just, first of all, mind your business. You don't just come in, first off, and assume that anybody's anything. You just check in your guests and you check them out, because that's your job. I used to work at a hotel, so I know this. You mind your business, you follow your protocols as the front desk, and you do your thing. But how dare you? Like, poor Chelsea, unless it's a work in some kind of way, I could totally see that happen. And I could see her in her complete Chelsea Green rare full form going, I need to speak with your manager, and going all, like, if you thought Chelsea Green was the way she was on camera, she probably brought that to the front desk, and I wouldn't.
Shout out to NDB. Yeah, she must have had that ish on. She must have.
She must have. She must have had that Savage Fenty or something.
Like, oh, man.
But, man, leave people alone. And she didn't even look bad in the picture, because I saw the picture. She did not look like, do you know how many people walk around? Women
there too.
You know, right. And like a hooker would not even pay for her own stay. Like, at least not to my knowledge, you know what I'm saying? Like, but there's so many women that dress all kinds of ways in New York, and that's what you criticize her about, and you judge her based on her appearance because of that. Like, that's just ugh. That's just ugh. That's annoying and bothersome. Fairmont Hotel, you should be ashamed of yourself. We're giving you one star.
You're lucky I don't have the New Day shame video where you threw pancakes at the Miz. I don't have that, but I will have it.
You know what? I would even suggest the Game of Thrones shame, because that's really where I'm at with it.
Another cool news happened this week in Philly, and the video on social media is absolutely beautiful. The Rock's grandmother, Leah Maivia, will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this weekend. She was a promoter and kind of pioneer for wrestling promoting, and actually one of the first women promoters of professional wrestling. The Rock tweeted out on social media that his late grandfather, legend wrestler, High Peter Maivia, both Samoan, she took over his grandfather's wrestling company there in Hawaii, and just a pillar of the industry. Very beautiful to see, and I think that's going to be a real tearjerker for the start of the weekend.
I think so too. I think this is very special. I think this is very big. Leah Maivia has been an icon in the world of wrestling promotions, and she has paved the way for a lot of people now. She was also a very tough lady. If you watch and tuned into The Young Rock, you got a kind of a glimpse of The Rock's perspective as a young child and when he stayed with her and how much of an influence she was on him. And that she was a tough lady. She was very tough. She even had, I think, like a situation where there was like feds after her and stuff like that, because she wouldn't tell something. I forgot what the case was, but they had their eyes on her for something. But that only goes to tell me she was a bad mother, shut your mouth. And she was nothing to mess with. Much respect to her and the whole Samoan family and Samoan dynasty. They must be ultimately proud. And I'm sure The Rock is going to induct her. Is he inducting her?
Yeah, he's inducting her.
So this is going to be very special, this Hall of Fame. And I'm wondering that, because this is on such a grand stage at the Hall of Fame, I'm wondering if they're going to do some more interactions, being that we got the same thing from the press conference. You know, Roman is said to be also be inducting Paul Heyman as well. As
really?
It was announced on Monday at Barclays.
They announced that's that very well. Cool. I wonder, and I hope that Roman is out of character for that. I hope we get just Joe for that.
Yeah.
For that introduction. That'd be pretty.
And I think what's really cool about it is that it's all connected. It's all connected somehow, because at the end of the day, who's one of the very few people who have been one of the only persons to actually be around the Samoan dynasty for that long? It's Paul Heyman. He was around. And if you watch the Roman documentary, it was very insightful about the history and how, and Paul Heyman being the narrator of the documentary, talked about Afa and Sika and his time with them, and how, you know, how far back their friendship goes, and how much he loves, truly loves, the Roman Reigns. He's seen him as a boy. He's seen him as a young child, you know, like it's just really, really special. This is going to be a very, very special Hall of Fame. I'm really, really excited for this too. And with The Rock inducting his grandmother, I think this is going to be a little bit of a tearjerker for him as well. Cause you know, grandmas, they just get you there. They just hit you right in the heart.
Shout out to Leah Maivia, took over Pro Polynesian Wrestling and the NWA territory in Hawaii. It would be great to see her inducted into the Hall of Fame. I want to knock this quick AEW story out, because, I mean, they're in the news as well for some releases recently. First mass releases that we've seen of AEW. And just to go down the list of who was released, The Boys, notable for being with Dalton Castle, Dasha Corette, formerly Dasha Fuentes, Jose the Assistant, Jora Joel, Anthony Henry, Gravity, Stu Grayson, Parker Bordeaux, and Slim J. Sad to say those wrestlers will go on to be free agents immediately, meaning they'll be able to sign in where they want. And that's the complete list for now. But we don't know the extent or if there'll be more releases in the next days or coming weeks. What do we think about AEW kind of trimming some of their talent pool? I know they get a lot of critiques for having such an inflated roster, but do we feel like there'll be any names that kind of catch you off guard that get released in the next coming weeks?
Yeah, I would hope not, because the fake TK has a lot to work with. But I just, shout out to him for trimming some fat off of AEW's roster, because, he's needed it. It just seems to me like he's just taking a lot of notes from WWE's influence and how they did things. And obviously, this is the first quarter period. So it's like you got to do something, because ever since Revolution, he's brought in quite a few big names. So it's like you got to, for those ones that you brought in, you got to compensate and release some, because those ones that you brought in, those are the money drawers. Those are the ones that are going to put the ass.
That damn Adam Copeland.
So you gotta don't get me started on that, sir. Don't get me started, because I am so excited. But we'll talk about that in a second. I'm so excited. But I think that, like I said, it's TK, the fake TK, just taking notes off of other wrestling promotions and influences, and knowing, finally realizing, somebody probably smacked him upside his head and he's like, hey, you got all these people here. What, are you really going to do anything with them? Because we haven't seen them ever, or who's to say that they create another developmental, just like how NXT does. And I think that's what they should do in order just to keep their roster fresh. And that way you won't have to let so many go. That way you could put them somewhere and be able to do things with them. There's nobody on that name that really kind of surprises me. I'm not going to lie. It's not really anybody that I really recognize name as far as like who I've seen.
I don't like removing the boys from Dalton Castle. That kind of pisses me off a little bit. But I mean, I think Dalton Castle has staying power regardless in Ring of Honor. So we'll see what happens.
But for every one or two releases, there's someone there that is going to become the star, and that just comes with the territory of the business, that things happen. From that list, Triple H should just swoop up Parker Bordeaux and revamp him into what you were going to do before, because apparently he was allegedly going to be literally the next big thing.
Well, I think he appeared in CMLL recently. Gone. Or was it MLW? It was one of those. They appeared in, had an appearance in within the past week, couple weeks.
Yeah. So,
but releases are never a good conversation. I hope every wrestler lands on
their feet. We wish them the best of luck, though, as well. Because, you hate to hear it.
Now, let's end on a more positive note. We're talking about somebody who might have a really big WrestleMania moment, and that is former Judgment Day member, Mr. R-Truth. There's a very prominent Anscape with ESPN article out right now talking about R-Truth, who is actually 52 years old, same age as Dwayne, if you didn't know that, active competitor, about his injury that he suffered in NXT, how he nearly lost his legs 2 years ago, or lost a leg 2 years ago, and now he's more popular than ever. You remember that injury he had in NXT? I think he was taking on Grayson Waller and had an awkward fall. It was said that leg was almost amputated. So he almost lost that leg. So this article goes through that journey. And also talks about how he's probably on one of the biggest runs of his career. And even at this age, it's very remarkable to see with the merch that R-Truth has moved, with the fanfare that he's moved. Like, he's been a welcome addition to every show he's on. So it's great to see. And he actually might be one of the people to climb that ladder and grab a title and get a true WrestleMania moment, I think, for the first time in his career. So check out that article. But what do you think about, I guess, this, what do you want to call it? This rise of R-Truth, but also the fact that he's still performing after such a scary injury.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen quite a few things like this, where we've seen a lot of wrestlers almost not come out of scary injuries or scary situations. And thankfully R-Truth is one of the ones that have been blessed to come out of that, be the phoenix out of the ashes, only because he's such a gift to pro wrestling and the sports entertainment aspect. He's the gift that keeps on giving. and he's just hilarious. He's beloved by all. You could tell he has that aura in the locker room as well. And especially with the fact that people can't even seem to stay serious around him during segments. It just goes to show you how much he gets it and how good he is. 52 years old. I mean, I don't want to put age on anybody, but I'm just saying, like, the guy's a freaking vampire at this point. If there's anybody also that I believe who should write a book, it should be R-Truth. I would totally get that book and I would totally read it front to back, no problem, because I'm sure the tales that he has are tremendous. I'm sure he can speak a lot about what he's done in the business and a lot about his experiences and his perspective of his life. I think that R-Truth definitely will have a WrestleMania moment. I think he's going to be one of those peak moments where we could possibly see the rebirth of the Awesome Truth, and he'll possibly come out on top, or something will happen. Something will definitely happen for R-Truth because he's very, very deserving, and every chance he gets, he should get his flowers.
Absolutely, and just having to overcome all that from a quad injury and then going through the infection and having the scare of possibly losing your leg to see that he's been on top of the world for the greater part of the last year. It's great to see.
It's a blessing.
Yeah. It's a blessing to see that he has this staying power for decades, man. And I think we now know this six pack challenge for the tag team titles is they're going to be separating the titles this weekend. Michael Cole dropped on Monday night that the match will not end until both sets of titles are retrieved. So that means we'll have Raw champions and we'll have SmackDown champions. So it'd be very interesting to see if Truth leaves with his moment or however they decide to divvy up those titles.
Yeah. So they got to climb up the ladder and grab both sets.
No. They're saying both sets of titles have to be retrieved. So I'm taking that as, if one team goes up and retrieves those titles first, they're leaving with those titles, but the match is still continuing because the other titles are still up there too. So all four belts are going to be suspended.
Oh boy.
So if he leaves with the tag team titles, you know, that'd be a great thing. And I agree, Bo, is a first ballot Hall of Famer. That'd be a hell of a Hall of Fame speech whenever Truth gives his speech. Because I don't believe it'll be a serious one. I think he'll still stay in this character.
He absolutely would, and he'll probably show up there ready to wrestle, thinking that it's WrestleMania, and then he'll be like, why is everybody dressed up? Oh, it's the Hall of Fame. My bad. And just leave, you know. You could totally see that we're true. I love it. I love that.
It'll be just like that. Mm-hmm. Well, that was our last story, and I know we got a lot coming up. I know Dynamite's tonight. We got SmackDown on Friday night. We got the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. We got the Hall of Fame. We got NXT Saturday morning or afternoon, depending on where you're at. WrestleMania night one and night two. And I'm pretty sure we're going to get some more social media content here from interviews the wrestlers all this week. I think the Final Boss might do another 30-minute promo on Friday. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then? And who knows how many times we'll say whoa to Cody's Kingdom theme this weekend. At least three, I'm counting on my hands right now, but it might be so many in between now and then. So, honey, with all that said, tell the good people what you're most excited for the rest of this week and this weekend, and where the good people can find you.
I'm excited for the main events, obviously. I'm excited for Becky and Mommy, and I think I'm excited for Trick and Mello, but what I'm really excited for, because I've been calling and waiting for this since last summer, I cannot wait for my brother versus brother match. Brother versus brother matches have always been my favorite. If you're a WWE historian and watcher like I am, WrestleMania 10, Owen versus Bret, and then a few years later, you would have Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy, and now you have Jimmy versus Jey Uso, which makes this the third brother versus brother match to ever happen in WrestleMania. So they are in good company as far as, you know, making that kind of history. So I think that's probably one of the most that I'm excited for besides the obvious ones. And the people can find me here. I am back Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'm not sure what the situation is about a watch along this week because I will not be in town. You can find me here Monday, Wednesday, Friday with WWT, my lovely wrestling family here. Follow me, Everything Wrestling with Honey on TikTok, Instagram, Wrestling W Honey on Facebook, and check and make sure you like and subscribe to my YouTube podcast that will be up and running soon, Wrestling with Honey Podcast. Don't know if I'm missing anything else. Might be some Honey Pop predictions. I might try to make some way for Honey Pop predictions before this weekend, maybe put some picks up. All I have to say as far as what I think the final result will be, acknowledge him.
You know, and there's a lot to look forward to between Stand and Deliver and night one and night two. I'm going to throw a curveball. I'm actually looking forward to a match that was just announced, and that is the Pride versus the Final Testament. I am happy that all those men got their spot on the Mania card, and they're going to be doing a street fight. And something absolutely has to give with that feud, from trying to make the Pride heels to them being the baby faces now, because people just don't boo the Street Profits. And if you haven't seen that Pivot episode with Bianca and Tez, they talk about that. And Bianca talks about how they tried to get them to boo the Street Profits, and they just wouldn't. They just wouldn't. Just very likable guys. And I'm excited to see AOP on the card as well. But you can find me on the streets at CEWD_SAYS on the gram at Said Is The Answer. I write for DailyDDT.com. You can check me out on Draped in Gold this morning. I will write articles for Daily DDT for at least Stand and Deliver this later this week, as well as doing a Stand and Deliver review show. If you do not get that review show, don't blame me. Blame Jacob DeLawrence _JDella on Twitter. Hit that man up and tell him to get off his ass and create some content. I will say that until the cows come home. Also, I'm trying to get off this Wale Mania ticket, so if you want to DM me if you're going to be in Philly. And it's not just a regular Wale Mania ticket. Let me be very clear. This is a VIP Wale Mania ticket. You get to go upstairs, have some libations, and meet some wrestlers up close. It's a room that you want to be in. So, I don't got real TK money, but I got enough money to buy a VIP ticket. So, if you want this ticket, hit me up. I'm not charging for it. I'm just giving it away. But go ahead.
I was gonna say one other thing. I do know a friend of mine who has possibly an extra Hall of Fame ticket if anybody's interested. So, but she is charging for that. Not a lot, but she is charging. Shout out to my friend Jaja on Insta. I promised her a shout out. And also, thank you so much for bringing Malakai Black to a card picture with the title. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Keep listening. Keep listening, Fake TK. Keep doing that. Do whatever that is. Whatever you see Malakai Black, just put him there, okay? I'm just happy that it's against Adam as well. So, yeah, that's my last real quick thought.
You know what? I actually got one more thing. Make sure you keep everything locked this week for Women's Wrestling Talk. We'll have post shows for every event this week. We'll have possibly watch-alongs, like Honey said. We'll have a lot of content. It's a big wrestling content week, so shout out to all my content creators out there getting the thing done. But you know, keep it locked here. Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network for everything women's wrestling. We actually also got voted for number one wrestling podcast in the state of California. So shout out to whoever gave us that accolade. It's right here on my phone. I'm sure we'll post this out. Whoever's blog this is, thank you for giving us that accolade. We appreciate it. We do it for the fans. We do it for you guys. We want to keep bringing you guys dope content every single week, giving you all the best women's content you can give. You won't get it anywhere else. Like I said, check out our website. Check out our shows, our content. Buy the merch. And make sure you're here on Friday for the next edition of WWT Live on Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one network for women's wrestling. Ciao for
Acknowledge
now.
Him.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.